The first poem is called I Like a Spare Poem. I like a spare poem, one where I see the right angle of an L, the belly round of two O's, and the fork-like K. This spare poem gives direction, sometimes command, when the pen presses ferociously on the paper. Look! Other times a lighter hand. Look. And sometimes a cursive whisper. Look.
Let's see. I want to find my list.
So, this is what I think every woman should carry. Every woman should carry a box of matches, a knife, a handkerchief, a pencil, because pens run out of ink, forgiveness, 1,000 pounds of courage, and space for loving. A woman should carry a warm shawl, enough grace, and a small bottle of fine cognac, a heart not broken in too many places, the ability to forget, and enough endurance. There is language everywhere, maybe not letters or words, but for me, this morning's violet growing by my doorstep is language. The buds of the lilac tree beside the door, the shoots of what will turn into bleeding hearts, the forest of forsythia scribbles the front of my house. And winter's language, where fox and deer, raccoon and bird footprints, even bare branches tell a story. Snow is a glorious silent language, and rain and wind, sometimes gentle and sometimes wild. The breathing of a sleeping lover or infant, language. Fingers are language, speaking of tenderness, and fists of fury. So, do not get caught up in the alphabet. It is simply knots on a string. Just listen and look. Breath and sandpiper's tracks, the roll of rocks under pulling waves, clouds sometimes quiet as a dream, other times gray, tumultuous like anger. Hush, so many things are speaking. So I wanted to comment at this point. My definition of poetry comes from the Greek, which is poesis. And the Greek poesis simply is defined by to create or make. Has nothing to do with words necessarily, because for the Greeks, poesis was this umbrella under which poetry, dance, music, drama, all of that came. So for me, it's just making something. This is called soap. It wasn't expensive, the box of 12 bars of Chinese sandalwood soap I gave my lover. An untraceable gift, one that disappears. Now his wife asks, why a sandalwood soap, since when? He loved me, remembered our evenings, firelight, cognac, sex, bathing together with sandalwood soap. When he couldn't be with me, he enjoyed the teasing torture of my scent. We exchanged no written words of any kind, not letters, not books. Ours was just the scent of sandalwood and sex. So this is called Pittsburgh, October 2018, the Tree of Life Synagogue. I feel hate like November. No longer waiting in these dark days, closing in on us. And power, outages, everywhere storms of all kinds, dangerous travel, deaths. It takes a certain energy to survive a New England winter, shoveling, burning wood. How to survive hate? Compassion and empathy don't seem enough, nor dialogue, nor protest, or resistance. Who are we now? Whither is fled the visionary gleam? Where is it now, the glory and the dream? Asked Wordsworth. Who are we? What are we? What can we be? Hate sits on its haunches, fierce, irrational, beast-like, sharpening its teeth, then pouncing and clawing its way into synagogues and mosques and churches and schools and living rooms and TVs and our phones. What is it about a starry night that makes one small, moves one closer to a belief in the one with a thousand names or none? What is it about wave after wave, ocean stretching, if not to infinity, to a horizon line? Is belief deeper than faith? Is it faith without dogma and doctrine? Beliefs get shaken and throttled and bruised and beaten up. Yet something of belief survives, grasps this heart, nearly wrung out, and smooths its ragged, spiked edges. That starry night, that endless ocean, their relentless clarity certains me. This is a poem for a friend of my, one of my sons, I have a 45-year-old son and a 35-year-old son and a daughter in the middle. The two sons are chefs. And what you may or may not know about the life in the kitchens is one often of drugs. And two of my sons fought, and one in recovery 10 years, one 4 years, one on heroin, one on crystal meth. So this is for Charlotte Zivick, who was a friend of my son's, who died of an overdose. It's called For All Who Are Suffering. Over. It's finally over. For the one craving the high, for the other craving help, for the one wanting the high. Over for the one dying for the fix. Over for the endless days and nights wondering and praying and crying. Over for the one promising to call home and never doing it. Over for the one waiting by that phone. Where is she? What city, what town, what gutter? Over the lies told to hide the truth. Over for the believer trying to believe the lies. Peace, I hope, for the one in the ground. For the mother who told me, I'm grieving, I'm angry, and I'm relieved too. One month. There's solace in the falling leaves, silent to the ear, a soundless prayer. There's solace in days drifting towards the unknowable, day and night when falling and drifting cease, and then the silence of praise. That day in Las Vegas, he tried to kill the music. Music didn't die, but 59 people did. My student said, the shooter was targeting happiness. And some of the students said they wouldn't go to concerts again. What do I call the tears that are not wet? Erupting silent sobs, this grief for the nameless kidnaps me. I love the delicious abandonment, pen in hand, word wandering through morning, finding comfort in the leaves falling more noisily than snow. The next day, I hear a friend tried to commit suicide twice in 1 week, and I am buried in rigid stillness. He is broken by suffering, job lost, eviction, loneliness magnified. Twice he tried, a man burned by pain. I didn't want to pick up my pen, but I did, heavy with love. This is pretty new. Nietzsche, become who you are. My search for self began without words. I tried on beatnik. Rebel, existentialist, poet, trying to find out who I was beneath skin and hair, what suited me best, what life this heart desired. Years trying on lives, something like searching, mostly though trying on, like trying on something in the dressing room. When did I abandon the dressing room? When did I become who I am? Was it only yesterday? And the last poem, I wrote in a book of mine from a long time ago called Provisions, 1988. And yesterday, when I was trying to decide what I was going to read, I saw this old poem and was sad to say how relevant it is. And so I added a few words to it. The title is Gutless Men. The gutless men and women in white hoods and robes still meet to plot, to hate, vicious saliva spewing from their twisted tongues. Hate, here in Connecticut, the Klansmen meet to hate and step upon the necks and backs of Muslims, Hispanics, Jews, and blacks. Prejudice is not a tame dog. It is a rabid dog with filed teeth, wanting, panting to tear apart the limbs of men, the limbs of freedom. Thank you.